The banded door to the keep slammed aside, and Baron Gaza strode out of the structure, dragging a Sekhman by the throat. With a roar of anger, Gaza threw the man down the front steps onto the cobblestone street, where he landed sprawling before the waiting company of Sekhman filling the courtyard.
My lord, it's true. The people who saw the Chillen claim that Ryan has a blaster that makes no noise.
Liar! Find me those traitors and stuff them into the Black Queens.
The Sekhman reacted badly to that order, and several openly stroked the grips of their blasters.
But some of them were children!
My lord.
Gaza turned on the man, but before he could speak, Hawk strode through the crowd, leading his stallion by the reins.
The women and children are to be spared, of course. In fact, forget these liars until tomorrow. Tonight, we concentrate on finding those murdering outlanders.
Murmurs of approval rose from the guards, and Gaza forced his rage under control. These weren't his wives, broken and beaten until they lived to serve, but armed fighters who he controlled only through fear. The Vill was already twitchy enough about cutting off relations with Traitor. If the stoop cattle knew his real plans, they'd probably revolt even faster than if they discovered the truth about the water.
Hawk is correct. The Outlanders are the top priority. They aced Sekhman, a crime for which there is only one punishment, to become food for the god and earn this Vill more water.
Shouts of agreement came from the men, a mixture of revenge and greed crossing their dirty faces. Yes, he thought, they would like that idea.
Except for this Ryan, who goes to the table. Perhaps the knives can make him tell the secret of this silent blaster, eh?
Now the Sekhman laughed at the foolish notion, his momentary outburst forgotten.
Wall Sergeant Franz, Gate Sergeant Henny, double the guards on the wall. Nobody leaves this Vill tonight without the Baron's personal authorization.
Send off outriders. I want 20 men on patrol in the desert around the Vill. If this Ryan gets outside Rock Point, they're to bring him back alive. Chill the rest.
One of the Sekhmen glanced toward the high walls.
But what about the Night Muties?
Hawk walked his horse closer to the furious Baron on the stoop.
Henny's right, my lord. We can't double the wall patrols and send outriders while searching the Vill. We don't have enough troops.
Gaza conceded, but sensed the loss of his power.
Do as you think best. But the man who captures Ryan alive can have his red head as a reward. Permanently!
The Baron could see that the guards liked that idea. Pitiful fools. Norms were like horses. You needed a carrot and a stick to make them obey. Beat them once so they knew the taste of pain, then reward them often, but always at the end of the stick so they would remember. Hawk climbed onto his horse and gestured at the men on top of the keep.
However, I lay claim to the Black Woman. Even if she surrenders, I want her dead. Now to the walls! Let's find these cold hearts and show their guts to the stars!
The alarm bell on the roof of the brick building started clanging once more, and the Sekhmen rallied to the sound, rushing to their posts on foot and horseback, waving their blasters and crossbows. With only his personal bodyguard staying close, Gaza stood on the stoop of the imposing keep and looked across the roofed Vill. The one location he ignored was the temple. Only Phoebes would dare to venture to that place. His secrets were safe there. Now where could those outlanders be hiding? From the barred windows of the keep, the wives of the Baron watched the tableau below. Their fingers wove silent words to one another as they discussed what was happening and how best to make it serve their needs. Pausing at the temple door, the companions checked their blasters before entering the corridor that led to the front exit.
Okay, got any idea yet how we're gonna get out of the Vill?
JB racked the scattergun to exit a shell and then thumbed it back into the feeder slot. It was a habit he had developed recently to spread the lubrication inside the weapon and make sure it was feeding smoothly when there was going to be fighting in the desert. He knew how badly sand and blasters mixed.
We blow up the temple as a distraction, then escape in the confusion.
Yeah, that should do it.
The armorer grinned and pulled out an implogren.
I can rig all three to go simultaneously. That'll level this whole place.
Save one to remove the gate. Blood is the only way they're gonna let us leave.
Gotcha.
Wait a moment.
Doc started to panic as he felt the empty holster at his hip.
Has anyone seen my Lamar?
Dean gestured at the dead man on the floor.
They didn't have it.
He then pulled a big bore revolver from his belt.
Want one of their wheel guns? No reloads, but it's better than nothing.
Doc frowned. That gun was his primary link to the past life he was yanked away from. He would never consciously abandon it.
I suppose that would be wise, but wait a moment. I remember somebody placing it inside a black statue, saying they would get it later.
Statue?
Jack glanced at the fiberglass scorpion dominating the altar.
Hiding it from Hawk to keep for themselves is what he meant.
Ryan washed the light of the nuke lamp along the side walls.
It's going to be chilling, so we need every weapon. Let's find it quick.
In the clear beam of the headlight, the companion started back for the giant scorpion, then noticed a series of shallow alcoves lining both walls. Normally, in a pre-dark church, those were filled with statues of Christian saints, but these held the squat, somber figures of iron maidens. Resembling a metal statue of a fat woman, the iron shells were actually hollow and hinged to open like a clamshell, the interior covered with sharp spikes. When a prisoner was forced inside and the hatch closed, the spikes would only penetrate their flesh a little bit, making even the slightest move in any direction yield untold agony. The victims often went insane after only a few days and threw themselves at the spikes to end their lives by slowly bleeding to death. Both Mildred and Doc knew that even the legendary Torquemada had considered them cruel machines and only used the Iron Maiden on his worst enemies. Dean studied the line of dark figures.
Which one was it?
That I do not recall. My attention was elsewhere.
Feeling the pressure of the enemy outside the temple, Ryan started for the closest device.
Dean, start on the left. Doc, take the right.
Going to the first Iron Maiden, Ryan saw a pair of wrinkled eyes staring back from the viewing slit in the metal face. Dried and lifeless, the corpse inside was long dead. The next few held only skeletons. Across the temple, the others were having a similar lack of success. Then, peering inside one Iron Maiden, Ryan saw it was empty. What's more, the spikes weren't in evidence. Grabbing the handle, he twisted the locking bolt free, and there was no sound, the metal well oiled. Suddenly alert, Ryan braced himself and was in front of the torture device when it started to swing aside. He stopped it purely as a precaution. A heartbeat later, something slammed into the metal, knocking him backward. Even as Ryan drew his blaster, the door continued to swing open wide, and a smashed wooden arrow fell to the floor with a clatter. Weighed on an angle, the oiled hatch swung closed once more. A booby trap. The torture device was rigged with a trap to keep people out? What sense did that make? Unless it was a lot more than it seemed.